Baseball is back, and so is MLB.tv. Watch every out-of-market, regular season game on your favorite streaming devices. Anywhere, anytime, all season long. Follow the action live or on demand. Track four games at once with multi-view mode. And catch up with in-game highlights. Plus, original programs, minor league broadcasts, and local pre- and post-game shows. Go to MLB.tv to start your free trial today. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
This next mystery guest made a stop in Boston before she made it to the worldwide leader. Her story about an encounter with Kobe Bryant sparked an international trending topic with the hashtag GirlDad, garnering millions of likes and incredible stories of proud fathers across the world. Okay, mystery guest, reveal yourself.
It is Elle Duncan from SportsCenter.
Hey, there we go. There we go.
So welcome.
Welcome to the show.
What's up, Elle?
Welcome to the show, Elle. Yeah. Do we get credit? Because you were one of the six people we selected.
I heard. I think somebody threw my name out first, and then you guys talked yourself out of it and went with the blonde. I am not. I was in Boston briefly because of a terrible encounter at a hair salon there.
Right, it's a problem that we all have. Just talk ourselves out of stuff like that.
Well, so, you mentioned I don't know. I guess you're in Connecticut, right? So salons have opened up. Now we see you on TV every day. It doesn't look like you have any issues with your hair. I mean, are other women over at ESPN or some of your friends, are they dealing with some major root issues over there, or what's the story?
Yeah, I'll just put it this way. We have had and asked for increased lighting because, as you all know, lighting is a cure-all for grays and bad hair. My hair is incredibly gray. The salons aren't open yet. In fact, Governor Lamont pushed it back another month. So all of us are doing our own hair. We're all doing our own makeup to varying levels of expertise, but we're making it work. Not all heroes wear capes, but based on the circumstances of all we have to do is do our hair and makeup for national television. It's not that bad, really.
So, Elle, I got to ask you about that Kobe Bryant story. Did you think it was going to get that kind of reaction? Because it just blew up.
Yeah, it was crazy because I went to bed that night. I actually had to be up for the 7 a.m. SportsCenter, so my turnaround was crazy. And I went to bed at probably 7 o'clock, 8 o'clock at night, and I woke up at 3 a.m. to go to work, and I had like 145 text messages. And I was like, what happened? And I started sort of reading through, and by the time I got to message 30, I kind of gathered that a couple of Hollywood people had posted it and responded to it, and it kind of took off from there. I'm glad that people found a way to turn that tragic situation into something really positive. I think that for most people, they wanted to feel some sort of connection to Kobe, but they didn't know him, right? And none of us will ever be world-class athletes. None of us will ever have the kind of cachet or clout that he had. But we could all really relate to him on a human level when it comes to loving his children. So I think that's why, I guess. I honestly don't know. You do things and you hope people think it's a memorable part of your show, but I certainly didn't think it would turn into what it did.
Elle Duncan is our mystery guest here today, of course, at ESPN, started here anyway at NESN. We keep on bringing this up when we talk about NESN. How is it that there are so many hosts, most of them female, who start at NESN and then they end up working at the network? So when you went to work at NESN, I don't know where you came from. When you worked at NESN, do you sit there and say to yourself, all right, I'm going to be here for like a year, 2 years, and then I'm going to big time?
Yeah, no, that wasn't the plan at all. Honestly, I didn't know that much about NESN. I came from Atlanta. So I didn't know much about NESN, but as soon as I found out that it was the home of the Red Sox and the Bruins, I was like, all right, well, you know, obviously it's a pretty big regional network. And you know, what I did know about Boston more than anything else was that the sports acumen was really high here among fans. So I said to myself, if you really want to do this and you want to do this for real, you want to do it at a national level, the best place that you can go get your chops and is Boston, because they hold you to a different standard. You know, in Atlanta, you can be all kinds of wrong and they don't really care because the sports knowledge isn't there. So, I mean, it's just the truth. So coming to Boston was certainly a trial by fire situation for me, but I wonder too, I think some of it might be proximity. On top of that, I do think that Nesson is a good evaluator of talent, and Nesson has a lot of clout in terms of reach. It is a large network, and I do think that people understand that if you can go and exist in Boston, then you can probably exist anywhere. So when I came to ESPN, it was funny, because of its proximity, we get Nesson locally in Connecticut. So there was a lot of people that were like, oh, what are you doing here? Like, I know you from Nesson. But yeah, it's crazy. The amount of even PAs that we've had that never came through Nesson that end up, you know, doing really big things because of ESPN. A lot of the people at Nesson started out as PAs, Jenny Dell, Jamie Erdahl, before they PAs at ESPN before they even went to Nesson and then went from there.
Yeah, we guessed them all, if you remember. We guessed them all. Yeah.
So, Al, you know, I know you worked with Dale a lot. And I'm sure he probably was a huge, maybe like a father figure to you. But I know you got to have a funny story about Dale. I mean, we love Dale, but, you know, he's a little Ned Flanders-ish for us. But we love him. We love the guy. We love him to death. Okay, so give me, can you got any dirt on Dale?
I don't have any dirt on Dale. Like, he's just a really nice dude that I enjoyed working with. I hate to be that guy. I imagine that Jamie would have more stories since he was actually, you know, a part of the Bruins broadcast. But my interactions with Dale were always amazing. In fact, the last time I saw Dale was at a mutual friend's, I know you guys all know John Martin, was at his memorial, and Dale told me about his book, and I ordered it, and I read it. I thought it was fantastic, but like, no, Dale, Michael Hawley, like, they were all really good, solid dudes to me. I think that was probably what I was most surprised about. You know, you think Boston media is going to be a bunch of sharks, but I got to say, like, everybody was actually hella cool to a brand new girl that didn't know anything about anything, was kind of stepping in.
Right, what so about Chatham? What about Chatham?
Yeah, Chatham, yeah.
Did you guys ever have a pause button with him, or did you guys just say, stay out of the way?
Did he ever agree with anything you said? Because he disagrees with everything.
Me and Chatham would go toe-to-toe just because, you know, Chatham capes for the Patriots hard, and I respect it. And I was there during Deflategate, and I am a lifelong Broncos fan, which is something that the Nesson really wanted me to hide. So me and Chatham I would be saying I was playing devil's advocate, but really I was just trying to give it to him as a Patriots loyalist. But I love Chatham, and I think he has a lot of really great information. He's super smart. But you know, as someone who is a sworn and eternal hater of the Patriots, like, we would certainly. Wow. I mean, it just is what it is. And it
Man, how did you? How did nobody know that, Elle? How did none of us knew that? I mean, you kept that hidden pretty well. Jeez.
Yeah, all right, so, Elle, we need.
You must have loved 28-3, then, huh? From Atlanta.
Listen, I'm not. That's the thing. I'm not a Falcons fan. I'm a Broncos fan.
Nobody's.
That's why I hated you. I mean, the Falcons have no history with the Patriots before 28-3. It's the Broncos, and you kept ending our seasons over and over and over. So again, it came from a place of respect. But everybody hates the guy that's on top, and I in particular, because you always ended my season. Mm.
All right, since we need some embarrassing stories, and you weren't going to shed any light. So how about Wiggy? Is there anything embarrassing that you can say about Wiggy? You're laughing already, so I can tell there is a story. Yeah, go ahead.
I don't know. I don't know anything embarrassing about Wiggy either. I'm telling you, like, maybe it's just that these guys didn't trust me enough to tell me their deepest, darkest secrets, but... No, I love Wiggy. I mean, Wiggy to me was sort of like this amazing caricature of what I always imagined a Boston dude would look like. And
sound like, right? And sound like.
Yeah, I mean, well, you know, he's like, you know, what you gotta understand about Tom Brady is, like, he just was this guy to me that was kind of everything you would imagine a Boston guy would be. And then some, you know, the athlete, but with a heart, but very Boston. Aww. Again,
this is not good.
Yeah, athlete with a heart.
See, we can't get anything with Wiggy. Because the minute Wiggy found out you were from Atlanta, he loves Atlanta. I don't know if you knew this or not. Now, it's maybe because of gentlemen's clubs, but he loves Atlanta.
Specific gentlemen's clubs.
The gentlemen's club are reason enough to love Atlanta.
So, Al, you're obviously, we're sitting here 4 hours a day talking sports, and you're at SportsCenter. So is it the same thing? Like, hey, what are we doing this week? What are we doing next week? Like, we got to get some sports back here. How's it affected you guys?
Yeah, it's been pretty tough. I was actually on air by myself the day that sports ended, March 11th. And it was supposed to be like a 30-minute show. I was supposed to just do a quick show by myself that was bridging First Take and the ACC tournament, right? And I go on air, and maybe 5 minutes into my show, they were like, so the ACC tournament is canceled. And I give that news, and I'm like, what am I going to do? And they're like, well, you're going to fill until we figure out what we're going to do with programming. And then, of course, all the dominoes started falling after that. The NBA was canceled, the NHL was canceled, MLB was canceled. So I ended up, it was supposed to be a 30-minute show, ended up being me on air by myself for 4 hours just delivering this news. And it really, by the time I could take a breath and I sat down after the show, I was like, what the hell are we going to talk about? honestly, I mean, you try to be as creative as you can. We're doing a lot of flashbacks. You know, if you're watching SportsCenter right now, we're doing a lot of walk down memory lane. Thank God for The Last Dance. I mean, it sucks for you guys. Thank God for Brady leaving. That gave us, like, weeks of fodder. Thank God that, you know, the Texans are terrible and making stupid decisions. That gave us a couple of weeks. But you sort of just find what you can, where you can, and then fill in the rest. Honestly, SportsCenter is a lot easier to do in some of these debate shows. You know, I don't know how Stephen A. and Max are debating things when there's nothing to debate. I don't know how, you know, you can do a 2-hour talk show when there's not much. So at least with SportsCenter, we have the benefit of like old highlights and things like that. But yeah, I mean, it's been tough for everybody. Are you telling me you guys haven't had anything to talk about with Brady leaving? How, by the way, how are you all viewing this? Is it like a good for you, it was time to leave? Because my Boston friends that are still there, before he decided to leave, they all sort of were tinging towards the Brady's holding us hostage and he needs to go. So were you as devastated as everybody would like us to believe?
Well, first of all, I predicted this, so I get the gold star and the award for being the first analyst slash insider to get all this information.
Many months
right.
before it happened.
Way before. Years
it was
before.
It was similar to you, though. I mean, it gave us everything. It gave us, what, a month, 2 months into that last year, into the month? But yeah, I think it was kind of, people saw the writing on the wall, I think. Yeah.
Yes. So we are joined
Tampa
by L. Duncan.
Buck fans now.
L. Duncan, my Harbor One Hotline guest, mystery guest. So, okay, so everyone's watching weird, crazy stuff. I suggested a show to Glenn yesterday called The Wrong Missy. I don't know if you've heard about it. I also offered him a movie called Hollywood, which is on Netflix. Now,
I've seen that.
They're both awesome. So what out of all the time that has gone by with nothing, no sports, give me a couple shows that you think are, that you could recommend.
Okay, so there's a couple of shows I've just recommended to people, actually. One of them is on, and I heard of the Missy show, it's on Netflix, I believe, right?
Yes.
I'll have to check that out. So
it's a movie.
Run on HBO. Have you guys heard of it?
Nope.
Is it about running?
Yeah. No, not at all. It's not nearly as boring as that. It's a 30-minute show, so it's super watchable, but it's basically about two college sweethearts that made a pact that if one of them ever texts the other one run and the other one texted back run, they would drop their lives and they would meet at Grand Central Station and they would run away together. And they do. And so, but they both had significant lives that they were leaving, and it's kind of the foibles after that. It's actually really entertaining. And if you're looking for something crazy, just like sort of weird and out there, On Becoming a God in Central Florida, which stars Kirsten Dunst in a role that you wouldn't even recognize her in, it sort of talks about pyramid schemes and takes place in the 80s. And it is so weird and entertaining and funny and weird. You're like, half the time, you're like, what the hell is happening? It's got a really good cast. It's produced by George Clooney. So I would recommend those two if you're kind of looking for off-the-wall
ones. I like those.
Ones.
I haven't heard of either one of those.
All right.
There you go.
You save me a lot of time.
But the one that he recommended, what is it? The Missy?
The Wrong
movie?
Missy.
Okay, so he...
I want you to watch it. Stop
so
being
he tries
a baby.
To sell me on this one, Al. And I'm sitting, who's in it? And he goes, it's funny as hell. It's David Spade and Rob Schneider. And I'm sitting there going, they're not funny. I said, either one of them are really
they're funny.
They're
funny in this one.
It's like the number one like show on Netflix right now or something.
Thank you, Elle. Thank you very
much. Yeah, is it funny? Because I got to be honest, I'm with you. Like, I kind of look at David Spade and that Adam Sandler thing, and outside of Uncut Gems, like everything he does lately is trash, so I just have no interest.
Thank you.
Yeah. Glenn, you said you hated Uncut Gems yesterday. Now you're like, Elle, that was great. Yeah, Elle.
No,
you're all agreeing with her.
No, I'm saying I'm thanking her for dumping on David Spade. That's what I'm done. Because Uncut Gems, I thought was awful. I just read this. You began your career in Atlanta as an intern for the Two Live Stews, a syndicated sports talk show.
The Two Live Crew?
Two Live Stews. And I need to ask you this question. Because myself and I believe it was Freddie Smirlis and probably Steve DiAsi, one year at Radio Row in the Super Bowl, we wanted to kill the Two Live Stews. We were positioned, right in front of them, and they do their whole show barking like two dogs.
Yeah. This wasn't in Jacksonville, was it?
Yes.
Holy crap! I was there. I was there in Jacksonville with the Steelers that year. We actually had Ben Roethlisberger come over. They sent me out as like bait. Like he wouldn't come talk to us. They were like, you know,
your chum,
be a girl and like just, you know, bat your eyes and ask him. And it actually worked at the time because he was coming off of his rookie year. But yeah, that's what they're known for. They bark a lot, dude. They're two brothers from Monk's Corner, South Carolina, and they're like, they're fans. They call dogs and poodles, and that's what they do. I mean, they're cues, which is why they bark. But that's their kind of their thing.
Oh, Kirsten, you
used to be anyway. They don't do radio anymore.
Now you would kill those two dudes. I mean, they were right behind us, and for 4 hours, that's all they did is bark.
The whole time.
How do you know you didn't? How do you know you weren't aggravating them? Like, what if the feeling was mutual? It was, look at these! Look at this! Look at this short, walrus-looking guy.
I think we actually put him on the show with us on Friday because what the hell are you going to do for the whole week? All they're doing is barking. We asked the NFL to move us. There they go. We asked the NFL to move us on Tuesday, and they refused to do so. But I just read that you started your whole career as an intern with them. Isn't that wild?
I did. Yeah, I was their entertainment reporter / intern. It was a way to basically not have to pay someone to have like a role on the show. And so that's what I did. And you're right. Like, the part of their stick was kind of getting under people's skin. So I'm sure that reveled in the fact that they were annoying all of you.
They were annoying the hell out of us. L, you have not annoyed us at all. Thank you very much
excellent
for being a mystery guest today. We appreciate it.
Thanks for having me, guys. Yeah, I miss listening to WEI, so I appreciate being on, man. You guys keep it real, and I appreciate y'all.
You got it. All right, Al. See you later. Al Duncan later. From ESPN, today's mystery guest.
Who is that?
Who are you?
Who can it be now?
Who is he?
Who the hell are you?
Baseball is back, and so is MLB.tv. Watch every out-of-market regular season game on your favorite streaming devices. Anywhere, anytime, all season long. Follow the action live or on demand. Track four games at once with multi-view mode. And catch up with in-game highlights. Plus, original programs, minor league broadcasts, and local pre- and post-game shows. Go to MLB.tv to start your free trial today. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.